The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Move through blocks and fulfill your passion and purpose. This is Stop Stopping Yourself with your host, Vincent Jenna.
Well, hello, everyone. And we should have some large listenership today, as well as any day here, considering that the majority of people should be in their homes right now, resting, relaxing, and keeping themselves from getting the corona or spreading the coronavirus. This is your host, Vincent Jenna, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. And this is the Stop Stopping Yourself show. And I know it's been crazy out there, hasn't it been? Right? It's just, when was the last time in your lifetime? I'm speaking to the older generation as myself, that we even had something like this. I don't even recall SARS. Certainly, we weren't quarantined the way we are now. And before that, it was nothing. But I can imagine how it was and the fear that went around during those time periods that we didn't even have the technology that we have today, that it took even longer to discover ways of taking care of all of this. Well, I know everybody has been going a little crazy. Today is dedicated to you, dedicated to anybody who calls in and wants a reading or an answer to one of their questions or a connection. It's all going to be about that today. But also about you is to comfort you, to calm you, to help you. I will be doing a Facebook Live event a little later on today, more again about the coronavirus and trying to dismantle some of the nonsense that's going on out there. We certainly want to get don't want to get into the realm of creating more negativity or fear. And talking about fear, what is it with toilet paper being out? You know, we laugh over here in North Carolina, like we've said before, and I've been talking about this in the past. Now, we'll have an inch of snow or a threat of a snowstorm or a threat of a bad storm of any kind, and you go to the grocery store and there is no milk or bread left. Now, I can think of so many other things to get and be stuck in the house with other than milk or beer. I'm sorry, I said beer. That was a Freudian slip. Not that I pick it up, but yes, beer winds up being out too, which is very funny. Milk or bread. That was very funny. But in this coronavirus scare, I don't know. Everybody seemed to think that they are going to run out of toilet paper more. Now, I understand the concept of having the poop scared out of you, but this is a little bit ridiculous. So I just find it interesting. I find it interesting with the, of course, the hand sanitizers. That seems normal when there's an infection going around. Everybody wants to sanitize everything. And anybody who's run out of sanitizer, I would Google and search down that guy that has 17,000 bottles that's trying to get rid of them at this point. He's supposed to be donating them, the last that I had heard, donating them to different places, to senior homes, because people have run out of some of those essential products. Yes, stores have closed, department stores. I mean, well, I would think that people would be a little bit wise and that now is not the time to have to go search down that bathing suit sale. Or jeans. You know, it's funny that even in this time of crisis where nobody is shopping, Levi's still doesn't have a really good sale on their jeans. They think that's really funny. There are some of those products that you go to use a coupon on and you can't use a coupon on them. And Levi happens to be one of them because I tried to buy a pair of pants and I always love their sales. Buy one for $100 and get one at half price, basically. Very funny. Out there, the type of society we are. And that's the funny thing about the society. Now, all of a sudden, you see people out there wanting to help. This is an amazing thing that is going on, even though there is this epidemic, this pandemic that is keeping people quarantined. It is actually causing more care and concern. My wife and I were just talking yesterday about, geez, there's not even any more bananas left out there, and both of us like to get our potassium. Especially at our age, right? And all of a sudden, one of our dear friends, part of my home group, calls us up and says, "We're out at the store and we got found a bunch of bananas here. Do you need any?" I'm like, "Yes, we do. Fine, I got bananas and we also found some toilet paper. So we'll bring by some extra rolls of toilet paper." And we were stocked up pretty well to start with. But here he comes by and he drops off some bananas and toilet paper for us. And then my wife got the idea of, hey, let me contact and form a little email chain here with all our neighbors nearby and tell them that, I'm going to head out to the store. Does anybody need anything? And instead of everybody going and, subjecting them to exposure, possibly to the coronavirus, or do one at a time. If you need anything, let me know. I'll pick it up for you. Let's do that. If anybody else is going to the store, just email the rest and see if anybody needs anything. And sure enough, one of the neighbors said, "Oh my gosh, I can't find any chicken breasts anywhere anymore. If you happen to see them, pick them up for me." So those are the kinds of things. And by the way, that is the funny thing is that my wife did go to the supermarket and there is no chicken left anywhere, but there's plenty of beef. And I'm like, holy cow, literally. Why on earth would people be afraid of eating beef right now? I mean, you're stuck in the house, for however long, the next couple of weeks, and you happen to be a meat eater. Carnivorous in any way, like myself, there is nothing wrong with having a steak as well as, chicken or fish, during the week, especially when you're trying to keep your body nourished. Yes, it has more fat content, but it still is protein, right? Protein is going to help you. So I thought it was really funny that all the beef is left there and all of the chicken is gone. I actually thought the alcohol aisles would be empty, especially with the kids staying home from school. I know parents are going a little stir crazy trying to figure out how to keep their kids entertained, especially the young ones. I thought for sure the wine aisles would be empty in the supermarket, but they're not. They're pretty stocked, and I think that's pretty cool, actually. I'm only joking about that. I don't think people should be going out and getting blitzed. And happy St. Patty's Day yesterday. I'm sorry that it was a bust of a celebration for a lot of people. I know the bars here in North Carolina actually were closed at 5 p.m. on from that point on yesterday. And so, no, there were no great gatherings and parties. At least I hope there weren't. If we celebrate, we celebrate at home. But speaking again of how wonderful people have been. If you actually watch Facebook these days, you'll see even some stars putting out some videos, doing some mini concerts from their homes. I think it's fabulous. One of the guys from Coldplay, he was supposed to be doing a concert and with his group, and instead, because that was canceled, instead he was just playing the piano and singing some songs, and then playing the guitar from home. and sharing that on Facebook with everyone. Keith Urban did the same thing, gave a little mini concert for people. He was supposed to be doing a live concert, and he gave a mini concert. So there are a lot of things happening out there, which is amazing. No, I do not believe there's some nonsense going on out there as well. I do not believe that the universe created this virus for us in order for this to happen. I don't believe in that at all. I never believe that God, spirit, the universe, or our souls would intentionally create suffering or death in order to teach us a lesson or wake us up. I don't believe that at all. It doesn't make sense that it would have to happen that way, knowing that some people will respond in the opposite direction, like going to the supermarket and sucking up all of the toilet paper. So I hate when that is being spread by our practitioners. Yes, look at all the good it has done, but that's because we have the capacity of doing that. Now, it's really interesting. I'm going to be talking on my Facebook live event today, some deeper spiritual stuff about this coronavirus and how it's going to be cured and how we in general are going to be cured of all of this nonsense. Okay. And one of the things that I will be talking about that I did want to bring up, which I find interesting, is this is science of mind philosophy. Actually, it's a Michael Beckwith philosophy that I find very admirable and very credible. And Michael Beckwith, in his work, had at the beginning stages listed the four stages of consciousness and your journey for spiritual growth, And any of you who are familiar with Michael Beckwith or Science of Mind teaching, or any of Michael's teaching and himself, you probably have heard this before. If you took a foundation class from Science of Mind, that's where I originally had learned this, what Michael said. But I'm just going to briefly just talk about that right now, just to bring it up. So stage one of consciousness that Michael said we come into the earth with this understanding or this belief of that we believe everything happens to me, the to me consciousness. So that's the victimization stage where you think that everything that goes on in life is happening to you or against you. And so that is the beginning phase. And many people today are still in that stage. Many, many people across the world and of course within the United States, where they think things happen to them, right? That I am a victim in all of this, that I am a victim to my neighbors, I'm a victim to the government, I'm a victim of the economy, I'm a victim of everything. Right? So it's a way of excusing what they are going through in life. And you've heard me talk about that, the defense mechanisms, the adult made mind in my program helps to create these defense mechanisms. It is part of the way it protects us. Remember, I said that the two highest functions of the human brain is one, to keep us alive, and two, to protect us in order to keep us alive. And one of the ways it protects us is by developing these defense mechanisms. And the to me is one of those defense mechanisms. If I believe that there are things out there and circumstances and people that are causing my dissatisfaction or unhappiness in life, then I don't have to face what I'm doing to myself to cause that. Okay, so that is the first stage and understandable stage in your spiritual growth or beginning your spiritual growth. Now, there is no guarantee that you move on beyond that. You can see that. You can see how many people are just stuck in that first stage and they just want to stay there. And you're not, nothing is going to turn them around no matter what happens to them. They're going to have to do that themselves. So then the second stage that Michael talks about is as you are developing and as you are reading new books and grasping on to new belief systems, maybe going to lectures or to starting a spiritual center, you start switching it then from to me to by me. Oh, now you're starting to understand that you are responsible, that others aren't responsible for what happens to your life, that you are responsible for what's happened to your life. Because when you think it's happening to you and you're a victim, you're giving away your power. Now any of the new belief systems that you start tapping into, you start to realize that actually it is you that is manifesting all of this, okay, based on your past beliefs. So that is the stage two. Well, you know, there is more than that in evolvement and development, okay, that I am causing this. So Michael says that the next stage, stage three, is the understanding through me, that it's happening through me. Okay, when we have worked hard at developing skills in any activity or endeavor, from music to sports to mathematics, whatever, there is a movement when we cross over from pure focused effort to a feeling of grace and flow and what we are doing. Grace and flow, that our lives are flowing through us, that the things I'm doing is coming through me, all my skills, all my abilities, and we go with that flow. I hear a lot of people talking about surrendering and letting go. Well, that is the concept. That is the developmental stage of through me, that everything is happening through me, that the God force is acting through me. And if I just let go of my own control, which is the idea of by me, I'm in control, I am controlling everything. If I now let go of control and allow things to occur, now things are happening through me. That's where that understanding, and I believe that we need to develop all of these. We need to go through all four, and we may toggle back and forth with some. That is Michael's belief as well. It's one of the things that he does say, is that you can actually move to and from each one of those stages, okay? And I can understand that. So the through me stage, and I know plenty of people right now who believe that. You can see by some of the postings that they put out there or the books that they write, how to let go, how to go with the flow, okay? And yes, I believe that that is an important stage. I think that we all need to be able to experience that. I know in my own life, there's been many things that I let go of. I'm the spiritual teacher I am today because I let go of that control. I thought, again, that I was supposed to be a singer, actor, dancer, and I pursued that. And it wasn't until I completely let go of that I discovered that this was my mission, and that the way it transpired and the way it wound up occurring was, as I let go, things happened. Right, so I went with the flow. And the final stage that Michael talks about is the as me stage, which I find very interesting, is when we let go of blame and move from our perspective of life as something that happens to me, right? And then we discover that life happens by me. When we let go of that need to control, we move from our experience of life is happening by me to discovering our connection to the greater powers of life moving through me, right? The powers of life and force and God is moving through me as we allow our individual expression to merge completely with the energy that we are experiencing or creating in the world. We realize we are actually part of the infinite creative force of the universe, which is expressing and experiencing in itself, individualized as me. I am God. I am everything. Not that I am causing it. Not that it's happening to me. Not that it's happening through me. It's happening because it is me. Everything we experience is me. It's me. Why am I bringing this up? And that's one of the hardest concepts to understand, you know, that it's not the God force that's flowing through me. I am the God force. The force that's out there, right? The law of attraction. What this is basically saying, let me say that clearly, is that we are the law of attraction. We are what is happening. Okay, that is a real hard concept. But if you think about this for a moment, it really does make simple sense. We always know now that God is everything. That's what we say. That's what we believe. That's what we teach. God is everything. And if God is everything, God is us. And if God is us, we are God. And if we are God, we are also everything. So there is no separation. There is no separation. So why do I bring this up? Because this four stages of consciousness isn't an understanding about just all the good that happens in the world. It's about all the bad and the negative that happens as well. So therefore, one of the things that I was going to be talking about is that the coronavirus isn't happening to us. The coronavirus is us. And that gives us a different way to look at it. We don't like looking at it that way. We are the virus. But yes, we are. We are the virus. We are what is affecting us today. I mean, look, we've been talking about this over and over and over again. About what's been going on in the world, the negativity, the prejudice, the hatred, the anger, the shooting, the killing. Well, if that's not a virus, what is? That is definitely a virus of hatred and a virus in a pandemic. It is. It's hitting the full world. Why wouldn't it hit the full world? It's happening all over the place. Doesn't make a difference what country it's in. There's killing, there's murdering, there's hatred. That is a viral infection. So now it manifested physically. So what difference does it make that it manifested physically when, in fact, it's been here all along? And we are the virus. And yes, you know, well, wait a minute. You know, I've been a good person. Should I be considered a virus? Well, be honest with you, the virus has hit some people that have no symptoms or that are dealing with very mild symptoms and have gotten over this virus. So no, maybe we haven't, some of us have not been as negative or hard impacting on other people. Maybe we've been a little bit more positive. That's why not everybody is being infected or infected badly. But we are the virus. Don't deny that with yourself. I did want to acknowledge that I do have a caller and I'm going to come to you for sure. I want to be able to give you enough time, so please hold on. It may be on the other side of the commercial break, which is coming up soon, but only because I don't want to interrupt my reading for you. So please, caller, hold on. I just want to get through this point right now. Yeah, it's when I was thinking that, when I was going through that and I realized, well, if the four stages of consciousness is real, then the highest stage that we need to understand is that everything that happens to this world and in this world is because it's us. It is us. We look at ourselves as just a physical body. That's an illusion right there, because we're not just a physical body. And we think that this physical body is separate from another person's physical body. And here's the funny thing about what the cure is producing, or what this virus is producing. What we are doing for ourselves then is, one, we're quarantining ourselves and keeping away from each other. When we're together in a group, we start hurting each other or trying to. And that's basically the story of the Tower of Babel from the Old Testament. Right. There was a king at the time, the king of Israel, I believe it was, or no, it wasn't the king of Israel, one of the kings of Babylonia. That's who it was. And he wanted to build a big tower because he wanted to see if he can shoot an arrow up into the sky and kill God. And the idea of them all coming together and doing that and building this big giant tower, they were also fighting with each other while they were doing it. There was all this negativity going on while they were doing it. They were one race, one people, one language is what the idea was. And then what happened was God destroyed the tower and decided to take groups of people and change their language so they couldn't understand each other and talk with each other anymore, so that they couldn't come up with some crazy plan like that again or hurt each other anymore. And that's how people divided up and went their own ways to different parts of the land to form their own countries. That is the story of the Tower of Babel, and therefore how we came to have different nationalities. Well, again, that is a metaphysical story. That is a metaphysical story. And I believe that the message behind that metaphysical story in the Tower of Babel is that until we are fully evolved emotionally and spiritually, we wind up all our gifts and talents, our intellect, our intuition, our physicality, our energy, our spirit, all of those parts of what make us up as human beings tend to fight each other rather than come together in unity. We're going to discuss more of this on the other side of the break, and which is coming up now. And I am going to take callers again. So caller, please hold on during the break, and I'll get right back to you as soon as we come back. And we're going to talk more about the Tower of Babel and how the quarantine today and what's going on today and the healing needs for the coronavirus and all our viruses that are going on out there. All right. So this is Vincent Jenna on the Stop Stopping Yourself show on Unity Online Radio. Thank you for joining me today, and we'll be right back.
Experience the difference. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world. Welcome back to Stop Stopping Yourself with Vincent Jenna.
Yes, welcome back. This is Vincent Jenna. And before we left for the break, we were talking about the coronavirus and in relationship to Michael Beckwith's four stages of spiritual growth and consciousness. And we're going to get back to that in just a moment. We were talking about the Tower of Babel and the metaphysical meaning that has to do with what's going on today. Okay. But I do want to take a caller. Today is also about calling in with questions for a reading. And patiently, we have got Suzanne, who's been on the air, been on hold from Tennessee. Suzanne, you're on the air with me right now. Vincent, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, absolutely.
You have got a really, really good program, and you're right on spot. I believe that this is not what God is doing to us, but what he's doing for us. And he wants everybody to sit down, talk to him, and listen. And I think this is a great way of getting our attention, running
well,
our busy
lives.
Right,
right. There you go, through our lives. So what is your question for me today? How can I help you?
Oh, gosh. My dad died when I was 18. He said, when I die, I'll come back and see you. And I saw him once. And then I've never had an easy feeling of where he landed in the world to come. And then my three-year-old died from house fire. And I have never seen her, not in a dream or anything, but I have a good feeling of where she landed. And I just wondered if you might pick up where they are and what's going on.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I would like to help you with, Suzanne, is to maybe alter some of your beliefs of the concept that there is any other place to land but a heavenly place. There is no hell.
Right. Okay.
So Dad is definitely not in a hell place. Now, One of the things that happens is once they get to the other side, there's still work to do, there's development to do, there's evolving to do. And your dad, in particular, the message that I'm receiving right now is that he had work to do because there was a lot of inner negativity he had to let go of and process through. His own inner demon, shall we say, the same inner demons that wound up taking him, that caused him to die, are definitely things that he's working through. And lacks and neglects that he felt that he did on the earth while he was alive, he is working through that. Now, they come to us right away in the beginning because they're still hanging around the earth until they acclimate. But then once they start getting involved in their work, they do move beyond. And what I'm getting from, actually, I've got a grandmother here. His mother is actually stepping in. So your grandmother, your paternal grandmother, is stepping down and saying that there is a reason why your father hasn't come back to you a lot at all. He is watching you from a distance because he's more concerned that his energy coming too close to you will incite some old memories that may not be fond or cause you happiness. And so he's actually wanting to make sure you're being taken care of by the higher ups, by the angels, and he doesn't want to interfere in that. But he does watch you and he sees you all the time. He wants you to know he was there when your daughter crossed over.
Oh, good.
He took
He
care
died
of
from
people who
drinking,
watch him.
so.
He feels bad about that, okay? And he feels that he's hurt you in your youth. He's hurt you, which affected some of your relationships. And
Boy.
he doesn't want that to be remembered again, today. So he sends you via the angels, messengers, angels. They come down all the time. They tend to pass along some of the feelings and the words of deceased loved ones when the deceased loved ones don't come down. But I understand it. It's like he's allowing you distance, but he doesn't want you to think that he has forgotten you at all. He's got a lot of work to do. And as far as your daughter, she's actually waiting. She was a beautiful little girl. I'm so sorry that you had to experience that. She is waiting. She's number one. She wants you to know that she took care of karmic things from her past life, but she was hoping in this life that you and her father went on a spiritual journey together, but that didn't seem to happen. Is that correct?
No, but I did.
You did, but he didn't.
No.
Right, exactly. And so, a lot of times when children, I know this is hard to understand, but souls will choose, and I've said this on the radio several times before, souls will choose their journey this lifetime around for several different reasons. They make plans. It's the only destiny we actually have, is what we plan for ourselves to experience in this lifetime. And if we think we need to take care of things from the past, or if we're trying to help other people, we may choose things for ourselves that can hurt. And so that's one of the things that your daughter did, especially when it comes to children either dying young, or coming in with diseases. It usually is first to take care of some karma that they want to clean up from a past life, and second, to help their parents in some way, because we do migrate from lifetime to lifetime together. And she said you helped her so much in the past life, she wanted to help you
No.
in this lifetime. Did she have curly hair?
Yes.
Okay, because she's showing, it's interesting. I don't know why. She's showing me a picture, and this is symbolic of Shirley Temple. And I don't know if you remember Shirley Temple. Shirley Temple was a very
Oh,
famous
yeah.
little actress. Right. Okay. So I don't know the cuteness to me. If they're using that for me, that's a symbol for me to understand it. I usually associate Shirley Temple with this very sweet, young, innocent, talented, cute, outgoing, demonstrative, you know, child personality. And for some reason, she is showing that for me. And want you to hold on to that cuteness of her, for sure. But one of the things about Shirley Temple, which was really interesting, is her movies. Her movies were always about love and getting back together when people were apart. A lot of times Shirley played an orphan in her movies, and she brought a lot of love to people. So I'm kind of feeling that that was her mission in life, was to bring love. And she's grateful that you at least went on that journey, and she's hoping that you find love for yourself, because that's the most important thing, loving yourself and not having guilt and not holding on to past negative relationships that made you feel bad about yourself, including when you were younger yourself. So Shirley Temple was very resourceful and had a great resilience to her in the characters that she played. And I think that that's what she is trying to portray, that she wants for you, okay, is to really start that self-love journey, Suzanne. Okay, so they're both fine, and it's now for a child to come back a lot. I think you'll actually feel her more now that we discussed this, because you weren't necessarily in a state of, I don't know, being able to see her. Something that she is saying, that it's harder when a child is lost than when a spouse or a partner is lost. Obviously, it hurts more. That hurt tends to close up our ability to see and feel. I always, when I teach psychic and mediumship classes, I tell my students that they have to work on those issues that open their heart more. So you have to know they're both in wonderful places, okay? They've got plenty of angels and loved ones around them. That's number one. And that's what Grandma is saying, too. And kind of like she's the matriarch right now on that side with your family. And that your little girl is...
I took care of my grandmother till she died.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah, because Dad had already died.
Okay. That makes sense that she would come back. So all of them, actually the three of them, are now more showing up. And saying, really work on the path of self-love, okay? If you've gotten on the path to understand who and what God is, then understand that you are created in its image and you are just as wonderful and magnificent as God. And we're only living this existence to start learning that. You know, if you really think about it, Suzanne, with this coronavirus thing, if you've been listening, it is pulling out the better in some of us and a lot of us, right? And trying to help each other and bringing food and supplies to those seniors and people who can't bring them. We're still doing that. And so that's all about love. And so
right.
For you, the message is about love. And certainly your father is, I'm so sorry, saying, your daughter. By any chance, do you know, and she's saying the name Isabel, but I don't know why she's saying Isabel. I don't know if, do you know an Isabel that is either living or deceased right now?
No.
Or an Izzy, a Lizzie, that she's saying something along the lines of the formal name is Isabel and Lizzie. Does that make any, hit anything to you of a memory of any kind?
A Lizzie, but she's still alive.
Right, and who is Lizzie?
And she was a high school friend, real good friend of mine.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So that is a Lizzie. Okay. So the two of you were close. When was the last time that the two of you spoke?
Oh, gosh. She's not on Facebook very much, so it's been a couple of years.
Been a couple of years. For some reason, your daughter is saying to contact her again. So I don't know if she could use you, could use the friendship, whatever, but there's something about contacting her and sharing your feelings and stuff like that. But for some reason, she said, yeah, get back in touch with Lizzie.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Lizzie's just kind of shut down, and I don't know why.
Oh, okay. She did. So that's obviously there's something that's going on there. Okay. But they are both okay. Open up your heart. Or don't be afraid to see them. And just tell them, come around. It's okay to come around. You know, it's okay so to say hello.
Laura didn't come around because she knew that it would, like, I wasn't ready.
Right. Exactly. And so that's what she's saying now as the reason why she didn't come down, because she was afraid that you know, it would hurt. You weren't ready to receive.
I felt at one time she's always around me, but if I saw her, it would just shock me. You know, like I'm open to it and that, but it would just upset me so much that maybe I couldn't function. And I've functioned when they were in the hospital. My other daughter was in the hospital. I said, if they walk out of here or fly out of here, they're going to be in God's hands. And I knew that she had it made. My other daughter had 26 surgeries by the time she was 18, with 200 to 400 stitches each surgery.
Gosh.
All because this was all because the wires in the walls of the girls' room.
God.
So Laura
God.
Died 7 weeks later from the smoke inhalation. So I knew that she was in a good place. I just thought that it was weird. She's never been in my dreams. I've never seen her spirit, you know.
Well, that is the reason why. Understand that they protect us when they get to the other side, too. Just like Dad not wanting to come around and bring about bad memories, especially with what you've been through with your daughter, you know, there's no way that he can feel that he would be of any comfort by coming to you. And especially when he sees that angels are there and Jesus is there and Mary is there and all the great guides are there, he's going to hang back, you know. Now that we've opened up and we've opened this door, Suzanne, don't be surprised. As long as you know now and as long as you can accept that your daughter is fine, your father is fine, and they said, so we'll come visit. We'll all come and visit you because you keep opening up your heart more, and that's going to let you see and feel more and know that you're okay with your attitudes and beliefs, okay?
And like with the virus, it's not what God is doing to us. It's what he's doing for us, and it's for our growth and our strength so that we can be closer to him and our souls can grow. And I believe that with all that I am.
Right.
Thank you
and
so
know
much.
That you're very welcome. And know that you are. Remember what I said, that we are that connection with God. Right. So if God is doing it, it's actually that part of us which is allowing it and making it happen, too, because we know we need that change.
Yeah.
And so we would bring that on. Just like I said, your daughter came to experience certain things in order to clear up some things and learn some things and help you. We would choose to create things to help us too, even if it may be devastating or hurting us in some way. So we ourselves would do that, you know. So that's the godness in us, you know. So so you just keep well, keep going, and keep listening, okay, Suzanne?
Thank
you for calling.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now. Okay, we do have, I do see somebody else online. I'm not sure on hold. I'm not sure if she's called in. Guys, let me know if she does have a question and wants to talk. But there are a lot of different tragedies that occur in life, for sure. And, you know, when we can think of the amazing parts of us, if we can remind ourselves of the amazing parts of us that get through those crises, that get through these phases, what always comes out when we get through, it isn't that we just survive it, is that new things, better things, new understandings, better behaviors all come to us in because of these crises. And yes, it's One of the ways that we learn, but I truly do not believe that they are created in order to make us believe. I believe that we, our resilience and our greatness and our spirituality comes out of it, okay, out of the experience. So I have another caller right now that I would like to bring on the air. We've got Amy from San Diego. Amy, how are you today?
Hey, Vince, I'm doing great. Your shows are so fun. I love your energy. So thank
Oh
you
my
so much.
gosh, Amy, thank you so much. That is fabulous. So
Yeah.
then tell me, why have you called today? First of all, are you doing well? Are you hanging in there with the coronavirus lockdown and all of that nonsense? Do you have enough toilet paper, Amy?
You know what? I gave four rolls of toilet paper away this week. I have enough toilet paper and I'm not hoarding, no.
God
But yeah.
bless you. You see, that is part, do you understand? You took a major part of the cure. Okay, that is part of the cure that I was going to talk about, is helping someone else, because it is the hoarding, it's the selfishness, it's the fear, it's the anger, it's the trying to protect ourselves that caused this to start with. So then you have to do the reverse to heal it. So good for you, Amy.
Yeah, and you know what's fun is now that we have extra time, at least me, I'm in my room and I'm just giving, finding all this stuff I need to give away anyhow. It's not toilet paper, but it's stuff like, oh, you know what? And I got a great place to live that I could put a grab table and have people just take what they need. So,
Oh my gosh, that is
yeah.
fabulous. Good for you. Clearing at the same time, that's another spiritual principle. So
Yeah, but.
what is your question for me today, Amy? How can I give my help and my gifts to you today?
My spirit guides or whatever information you get. Not only do we have the coronavirus, but a week ago, Friday, March 6th, I walk into my room, I trip over a cord, I land on my shoulder and broke three bones in my shoulder and arm, and I fractured my right knee. So, yeah.
Oh Lord, Amy. Amy, Amy, Amy. Amy, I'm feeling your body a little bit over the age of 60. Am I correct?
No, I'm 57 years young.
You're 60. Did you say 60 or 57?
5'7".
5'7 years young. All right. Well, I was close. And that's great, but you got to take care of your body even more so, because it's apparently a little fragile, or you're got to pick up those things in your room so you're not tripping anymore.
Exactly.
Well, those are the things that we do watch onto. I'm so sorry that you experienced that, but you certainly sound in great spirits. How are you doing recently now?
I feel so blessed. I have been able to deal with the pain without any painkillers, which is amazing to me. And I'm
Wow.
able to walk without my cane, but I take my cane with me and I use it as a massage hook because it hooks into your spine really good. So, as crazy as it sounds, somebody's on my side on the other side helping me along here, but I want to use my arm again, and I just cannot use my left arm. I have one hand. I can't even do a computer. It just hurts. It's
Right.
crazy. So I don't
Well,
know.
it has certainly given you a chance, besides the coronavirus doing it for everybody. Certainly your injuries have given a chance to slow you down a bit, is what I'm hearing, is slow you down so that you can do some of your own introspection. Yes, you do have plenty of people on your side and beings on the other side there because of the work you do. So you're very altruistic, and I'm kind of feeling that there is a sharing and a story behind all of this for you to be giving out to other people, in some way. And also, you are alone in that place. Are you living alone?
I live with a bunch of people, but pretty much we all live alone. I rent a room in a big, beautiful residence. But yeah, I'm pretty much
Right,
by myself.
yeah. That's what I meant. You do not have a partner.
Nope.
No, okay. And you've been doing a lot of you've been spending a lot of time doing things for yourself, right? On your own.
Yes,
without a partner. How many years has that been that you've been without a partner, Amy? I keep getting a lot.
Yeah, like 20 years, 18 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And I don't think your soul and your body likes you being alone anymore. Yeah. And I think part of the, it wasn't an intentional lesson, but part of it was to make you realize, do you see how fragile you can be even if you feel strong? That having a partner can help in more ways than one. So obviously your soul wants you to open the door to love and partnership. That's what I'm feeling mostly. And that it's time for you to stop isolating yourself that way, because in your injury, you actually needed some help. And certainly would have been able to get along. You get no, okay. Now this is, you're an advanced soul here, Amy, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, good. So then this is an advanced class and lesson and message for you right now. Okay. Listen to me and listen to the sources above wanting you to hear this. You get no credit or extra credit for doing all the things you do alone. You get no extra credit for doing what you do alone. So in other words, stop trying to prove that you can. And start recognizing that getting somebody in your life to share your life with you is an important aspect of what you wanted to experience this lifetime around. So it's all about love, Amy.
Yep, okay? I hear you.
So all that you give away and all the help you do is wonderful, and it's about you giving love to others, but the one person you're ignoring is you, and now it's time for love for you. So this is a message of a relationship that is meant to occur in 2020 if you open up your heart now and acknowledge it's okay for someone to enter.
Yeah, the universe is pretty much saying you're going to have to do something because you have one hand right now, Amy.
That's right. And if you had a partner, you'd have three hands.
Well, now, Vince, you want to hear something funny? Is I have three hands. I have 2 feet and a hand. And the way I cut my oranges, I sit cross-legged, and I put the orange between my 2 feet, and I use my right hand to cut it.
Wow. You've become very talented. Ambidextrous. Whatever it is, I don't know if there is a technical term for that, but we're coming to the end of the show right now, Amy, and I don't want to cut you off or anything, but I do want you to realize, and all my listeners to realize, we are not meant to do it alone. We don't get extra credit for that. Now is the time to open up your heart, Amy, to you and to the rest of the world that way. What you give to others, give to yourself, okay, Amy? Thank you for calling today, and to all my listeners out there, stay tuned for more wonderful shows to come on Unity Radio. Hang in there. You've got the best thing to do right now is to expand your soul, your mind by listening. Listen to podcasts. Stay at home. Be healthy. Be safe. Be smart. And be compassionate and caring of others. And that's how we're going to get through this thing. This is your host, Vincent Jenna, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. This is the Stop Stopping Yourself show, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to stop being the coronavirus. Thank you for joining me today. Everybody take care, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'm Dr. Mona Lisa, and I've been a medical intuitive for over 30 years. Let me help you find new ways to heal physical and emotional problems. Be a part of my Healthy Living Intuitively podcast studio audience every week. Follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mona Lisa fan page, and Instagram, Dr. Mona Lisa 1, to get that information. I answer audience questions, and you can learn from people calling in that might be dealing with the same things that you are. Follow Healthy Living Intuitively, part of the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network, and wherever you get your podcasts.